It's amazing, isn't it, how just repeating things, even when you've got things in your mouth, helps you remember it as well. Should we just try that verse even all together, everyone? For surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. What an amazing promise. You know, we get promises and instructions, don't we? We were on holiday together as a family, and we went to a farm that my brother-in-law works on. It's a global farm in Florida. It was an amazing opportunity to go visit him and my sister and their two little girls as well. And they grow all kinds of fruit. Anyone know what that is? Orange, and they grow all kinds of oranges. Anyone know what this is?
A lemon.
And this? Lime. And you know, we were able to go pick them and look at them and taste them. And which of these is the most sour, the most bitter? I reckon probably the lime. Close, could be the lemon. But which is the sweetest? Orange. Okay, you get it. Now, what we did is my brother-in-law, his name's Matt, he said, look, have a taste of this. So we did that. We cut it open, had a taste of that. And then he went from the farm and picked this little fruit up here on the screen. Don't have one? But it's up here on the screen, it's called a miracle fruit. He picked a miracle fruit for us, and it's a little fruit like that. It's got a little seed inside as well, and you just chew a little bit on the outside. He said, okay, taste some of the lime first. Really bitter, isn't it? And then taste this. So we had some of the miracle fruit. And he said, now, taste the lime again, and I promise you, it will be sweet like an orange. And you know what? We did, and it does something crazy to your taste buds, and limes taste like oranges after you've had a miracle fruit. The sour things, the bitter things become sweet, and we believed my brother-in-law Matt, because he works on farms and knows loads of things about this, that it was A-okay to eat the miracle fruit, and B, that it was going to change the way we tasted the limes. And so we followed his instructions because we believed what he promised us. We followed his instructions because we believed what he promised us. And you know, we've been going through, children, as grown-ups, the story of Acts, where God has been working by his Spirit in people's lives and encouraging them to go out and speak for him all over. We've got a map up here, all over different parts of the Mediterranean area. I don't know if any of you have been on holiday around here. We're just going to go to the map, if that's okay, Warren. And in this map, you can see all different places where they visited and traveled in the book of Acts, and the young people, you've been doing this in some of your stuff as well, I know. And so basically, we're at the story, the bit in the story where Paul is for the second time traveling, telling people the good news about Jesus. And he's been going all the way kind of up through there, and now he's coming, and he's just arriving in Corinth. And Corinth was this amazing, big city by the sea, but it was like the biggest commercial capital. That means like it did lots of business and stuff in Corinth. And he's arriving there with the good news about Jesus Christ. And so we're going to pick up the story that we've been looking up as grown-ups. And I'm going to ask if Tim and Sarah Eisen can come and help me read a bit of this story together in Acts 18. So children, I know you sometimes read the stuff as well, but we're just picking up the story. And I want you to listen out to see if you can hear any instructions that Paul gets in this story, and then if you can see if you can hear any promises that Paul gets as well. Okay? Are you ready? Better move all the lemons and oranges.
Okay, so we're picking up the story at the start of Acts and chapter 18. And if you're following in the Church Bible, it's on page 1114. Later, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. Here he met a Jew named Aquila. Aquila was born in the country of Pontus, but Aquila and his wife Priscilla had recently moved to Corinth from Italy. There they left Italy because Claudius commanded that all Jews must leave Rome. Paul went to visit Aquila and Priscilla. They were tent makers, just as he was. He stayed with them and worked with them Every Sabbath day he talked with the Jews and Greeks in the synagogue. Paul tried to persuade these people to believe in Jesus.
Silas and Timothy came from Macedonia and joined Paul in Corinth. After this, Paul used all his time telling people the good news. He showed the Jews that Jesus is the Christ, but they would not accept Paul's teachings and said some evil things. So he shook off the dust from his clothes. He said to them, "If you are not saved, it will be your own fault. I have done all I can do. After this, I will go only to non-Jewish people." Paul left the synagogue and moved into the home of Titius Justus. It was next to the synagogue. This man worshipped the true God. Crispus was the leader of that synagogue. He and all the people living in his house believed in the Lord. Many others in Corinth also listened to Paul. They too believed and were baptized.
During the night, Paul had a vision. The Lord said to him, "Don't be afraid. Continue talking to people and don't be quiet. I am with you. No one will hurt you because many of my people are in this city." And Paul stayed there for a year and a half, teaching God's word to people. Thank you so much, Tim and Sarah. Should we just pray and ask that God would help us see his instructions and his promises? God, thank you for your word. Thank you that all the way through it, it's full of instructions and promises. Lord, I pray now in this moment, all of us would see some of your instructions and promises and know that we can follow you because you're faithful. In Jesus' name, amen. So right at the end of this story, Paul, who's been trying to share the good news about Jesus Christ with different people in this big city of Corinth, and to be honest, probably was, as we saw, getting a little bit of difficulty for doing that and was wondering, shall I keep doing this? God gives him an amazing promise right at the end of this passage, and it's this in verse 10. We saw it, one of the little cards that Matt read out was there as well. It's this: "I am with you, and no one will hurt you because many of my people are in this city." So the first thing I want you to see is that God gave to Paul a promise. And that promise was one that God was faithful to, because it says in verse 11, Paul stayed there for a year and a half teaching God's word to people, and he was okay doing it. God watched over him and was with him. So here's the first point I want us to really get clear, everyone. God is faithful to his promises. Can we say that together? It's up there on the screen. Everyone with me? God is faithful to his promises. Do you know what it means to have someone give you a promise? Someone gave me a great explanation of what a promise is. Promise is when someone says, "I will definitely, 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 definitely do this." And they do. That's being faithful to your promise. Do you get it? And God says, I will definitely, 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 definitely be with you. And guess what? He will. He is faithful to all his promises. And because of that, because God is faithful to his promises, you and I then can have confidence to follow his instructions, because his instructions are sometimes challenging. That means difficult. But when you know he's faithful to his promise, that helps. And so Paul gets given an instruction, and it's this in this passage. The Lord comes to him and speaks to him in a vision specifically to Paul and says this: "Don't be afraid," verse 9. "Continue talking to people, don't be quiet." And Paul got that instruction, and he chose to follow it. In verse 11, it says that Paul stayed there for a year and a half teaching God's word to the people. He continued to do what God had instructed him to do. He followed what God had given him, the instructions. That's the second thing I want us to see this morning, is that you and I need to follow God's instructions. So can we say that together? Follow God's instructions. And you're really good at it when, you know, Katie says, "Right, everyone stand." And then Matt says, "Will you come play this game?" People follow the instructions. In the same way, when God asks you and I to do things, we need to follow his instructions. Now, in this story in Acts 18, and as grown-ups and young people, we've been trying to think about this. Sometimes God is saying something specifically to Paul, like, "Go to Macedonia or Athens or somewhere like that." And that doesn't mean that all of us need to suddenly go to Macedonia or Athens. So we need to be careful as we read the Bible and think, what is God saying specifically to Paul and what is he saying to us? And here in this story, this is God speaking to Paul in this vision, specifically for him to keep speaking, to not be afraid, because God's going to be with you and no one's going to hurt you. Keep doing it. But you know, when you look at the rest of the Bible, that's a good thing to do. As you look at one of these passages, you can see that actually that's a promise for all of us, that God is going to be with us, and an instruction for all of us. In that famous verse that we were looking at in Matthew 28, that all of us need to be those who tell others the good news about Jesus and who are believing that God's going to be with us as we do that. And that can sometimes be challenging in school, college, the workplace on Tuesday, the school gate, about 8 days' time as you go back there, as you go back to your neighborhood. You can sometimes think, oh, wow, well, I know God wants me to do that, but how do I do that? And will it be okay? And you and I need to remember the promise. We need to trust, and then we can obey. Trust and obey. Trust the promises of God, that he's faithful to them, and then obey the instructions and follow them through. And what you will find with me, do you remember the thing about the lemons and the oranges and the limes? What happened to the lemon after I'd taken the lime, after I'd taken the miracle fruit? It turned sweet. And here's the amazing thing with God, that God is able to take what to us seems like it's going to be bitter, seems like it's going to be sour, and he is able, by his miraculous power and his promises, to make it sweet. This is true all through the Bible. You see God calling people to things that you think, that is bitter. That's where's the good going to be in that? They go through difficult, hard times, and yet amazing things come from it. Sweet, wonderful blessings. And probably the biggest thing of all is the story of Jesus' death on the cross, the good news that was being spread round through Asia at that time and Europe. And then now we continue to spread the good news that Jesus died for our sins. And for Jesus, that was a kind of bitter moment, a sour, difficult, hard thing to do. And yet God used that to be wonderful good news, something amazingly sweet for you and I, for all of us. God, the miracle-working God, can turn sour things sweet. In your own life, the difficult things you've gone through, grown-ups, children, the painful things, he is able to take and make them sweet through his power and his promises. That even the mistakes you and I make, he is able to turn from being bitter to sweet through the power of his cross. You've got a list in your update of some promises of God. The first one is an amazing promise. If you confess your sins, that always doesn't sound like a good thing to do. It's an instruction, though. If you confess your sins, God is faithful and just and will forgive us our sin, promise, and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And as you do that, you discover a great freedom and release. Goes on with many other wonderful promises. And even that promise to speak as you go back into schools and go back into your workplaces, to speak for him. Even that promise, that instruction, you can think, oh, that's going to be a bit difficult to do that. It's going to be a bit tough, a bit sour. Hey, trust that he's with you, and you'll be amazed how exciting and what an adventure it is speaking up for Jesus Christ and telling others of the good news of what he's done for you. So, promises and instructions. Believe the promises and obey the instructions, and God will be with us. Shall I just pray for us? And I've got a prayer up here on the screen. And maybe even as we bow your head, you might be thinking of things that you need to trust God for. And then you can ask him to help in following his instructions. So I'm just going to pray this. But we're just going to pause for a moment and think. Are there any specific promises or instructions that we need to be thinking about as we do this? Thank you, God, that you are faithful to your promises. You might even want to, in your own heart, echo that. Say, thank you, God, that you're faithful to your promises. And tell him, say, I know I can trust you. And then ask for his help. Say this, say, please help me to obey you by following your instructions. In Jesus' name, amen.